like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure.
Well, you hear the song, and so you know what time it is. It's Thursday afternoon, and it's time to head in the garden. Master Gardener Ed Bajarski going to join us by phone here momentarily and share some knowledge and take your questions. If you have anything pressing about the garden, you can call in during the show, 772-3808. And we do want to say thank you to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program and providing bouquets of flowers to the community, available by the jar or subscription. 772-3464, delivery available. And they're at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, Monday through Wednesday. No, every day but Wednesday. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day but Wednesday. And with that, let's pull up Ed Bajarski on the phone lines. Hello there, Ed. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, Oren. And hey, it's not raining yet or again or still.
That's
amazing.
True. Yeah, no, it's been a nice couple of days. We just had the first wave of wildfire haze arrive over town probably in the last hour or so. Went from blue skies to yellow.
Yeah, here it's hazy or high clouds. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard whether it is some of that. I heard that yesterday Ketchikan was getting some. But, yeah, next week we're hopefully probably maybe going to go to California where the air quality is pretty good down around where our son and grandson live. So I'm hoping that holds so we can go down there and do some visiting and do some urban foraging for fruits and vegetables and stuff.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll keep posted about your travels there as far as next week goes and hope everything stays good. And I think we'll have some rain around here maybe this weekend or the beginning of the week to clear out the skies, I reckon.
Yeah, and maybe even knock down the dust.
Yeah, that would be okay.
We got to be careful what we complain about around here.
Oh, yeah. Lots to be grateful for, really.
Yeah, and again, with the rain, it'll raise the nighttime temperatures, and that's one thing that's been of concern to some folks, certainly in the Mendenhall Valley here, and well, where I was up north, we had some hard frost in Fairbanks and Delta and Glen Allen areas. Here there's some light frost so far, but again, it's worth thinking about either having your blankets and coverings ready to protect stuff and plan for what needs to be protected. If you want to bring some things inside, if the forecast says, frost is coming tonight, what to bring inside of perhaps tender hanging baskets or tender potted dahlias would be a couple of those things. And again, if you have outdoor squash, zucchinis, seeing what your greenhouse has, like tomato plants, or if some of those really rare folks are growing eggplants or peppers or something like that, which are rather tender, that we can protect. And was one of the methods of protecting them, several, and that we can use a combination of, is having just jugs, gallon jugs, or buckets full of water around the plants, and then cover the whole affair with a blanket, you know, a fleece blanket or something like that. And that way, then, the water doesn't want to freeze. It takes a lot more cold to freeze the water down, and if the water freezes, it actually releases heat in the process. And having that blanket over the top, again, that kind of helps hold a few extra degrees, and that's usually, for these first frosts, that's all you need is a few degrees of frost protection.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, for dahlias, again, you know, dahlias and begonias are a couple. Fuchsias are a little bit hardier, but some are more, and some are listed as hardy fuchsias that'll get take down into the 20s and stuff. But the begonias and the dahlias are semi-tropical plants. So that might be something, you know, if they're out there on your deck, you move them next to your house. Again, having some jugs or buckets of water there, having the blankets also there handy is worthwhile. And if it gets cold enough that the plants are frosted, so, you know, next morning you see them wilt, well, as it warms up the next day, usually this will be after a cold, clear night, once they start to warm up and then they kind of wilt fairly quickly, or if it's hard frost, the dahlias at least will turn black. So that's an indication. You know, normally we talk about that a little later for garden cleanup or garden, you know, saving those plants. But once they get frosted, then they can be cut back, remove the stems down to the soil level, just to leave a little bit of stem on the plants. And then either temporarily they could be brought inside a garage where it isn't frozen. You can start, just leave the pots to dry out. Now, if I know that some folks have big garden beds full of dahlias, where those folks would then dig them up, wash off the roots with, yeah, just hose them off, and it's a good time to split up, divide, share with others, or if you're going to be keeping all of them, like our sponsors do, or many of them, then they can be labeled, you know, label them with variety, color, and that sort of thing, and then set aside. Stored, they can be stored in with some dry shredded paper. Well, first you should let the tubers dry out a bit, kind of like we do with potatoes, we'll talk about sometime, you know, in a later show. But you want to let those tubers dry out a bit first, and then pack them into paper bags, potentially if you've got straw that works, if you've got dry wood shavings that works, if you have shredded paper is another good one to pack in around them in those bags that you are then storing in a place that will not freeze. So, I mean, 40 degrees and above would be good to keep them at that point. And then, essentially, then it's a matter of just watching and waiting until late winter, February, March, before we pull them out of storage and start to warm them up. And then once they start to sprout, we can start to pot them up before, you know, and maybe divide them even more, or sell some, you know, pay for your dahlia addiction, mm-hmm. or pay for your seeds for this coming year.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Good tips.
You know, the begonias, again, that's something we've often talked about before. So with begonias, I often will leave them in the pots for a month or two. You know, they very slowly dry out. Any top stems, shoots that are still on there, remove them. They'll usually snap off pretty easily. And again, those, they can be dug. They can be stored the same way. You know, label them. And although a lot of times we can, as long as they're kept, you know, on the dry side, even in open trays, they will keep pretty well. And again, they will tell you when they want to start to grow, like in February, March, because they'll start putting out their new little pink shoots on the top of them. So that's an indicator, again, of get them into some pots or some trays with some clean potting soil and give them moisture and light so they can sprout again for next year. I mean, in the meantime, right now, with our begonias, we're eating begonia flowers. I mean, they're a wonderful addition to salads. You know, just pick off the begonia flowers now and tear them apart. I mean, they're kind of a tangy, lemony, kind of like French sorrel, sort of, and they're great in salads, too. So, again, they're not to mention beautiful, but they're beautiful and tasty in salads.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't know that. That sounds good. And so are you saying you let the begonia dry out for a month or so, and then you kind of gently remove it from the soil, and then do you wash it, or do you just kind of like...
I just brush soil off them. Usually there isn't, unlike the dahlias, which have these big tubers and lots of roots, with the begonias have smaller, more fibrous roots, we want to be gentle with those big tubers of the begonias. I mean, I've got some that are 6 inches across or more. They weigh a half a pound to a pound. I've seen some giant ones that are, you know, almost dinner plate sized tuber, which takes a big pot and which produces big stems and lots of flowers, which is a, you know, a wonderful thing. I mean, they are spectacular. And that you can start those from little tiny plant starts in the spring, the tuberous begonias. They sell them. They're called a non-stop begonia. I mean, those are grown from seed by nursery people, but they become bigger and bigger plants and definitely worth storing, worth keeping if you've got conditions. Again, like dahlias, you want to have them 45, 50 degrees for winter storage so that they don't freeze particularly. Mm-hmm. So having that right spot, and then you get a lot more flowers as the tuber gets larger and larger over some years.
That's cool. What an awesome plant that is.
They are. I mean, and they, again, I mean, for me, you never know. I'm not going to predict the weather, what kind of a fall we're going to have. We've had this incredible, I would never have predicted this, 8 days of sunshine. Mm-mm. After the summer, after the June, July, and August that we had. But it sure has done a lot for people's mental health, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. An absolutely much-needed little spoonful of sunshine.
Hopefully there's going to be more of it next year.
Yeah, let's... And maybe even in the remaining months of this year. Who knows?
Oh, yes, yes. No, I mean, maybe we're going to have, I don't know, I mean, let's dream. Maybe we're going to have a dry fall. So far we've got, at least here in June at my house, we've had less than an inch and a half of rain in September so far, and September is usually one of our rainier months. So it's exceeded expectations so far. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, harvesting is going great guns here. I'm sitting next to my Brussels sprouts. I've got one more cauliflower left to harvest here. There's some huge Brussels sprouts beside me, and I don't really want to harvest them now. I want to wait till they do get frosted because they'll be tastier.
Wow.
But these are 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide, and there's larger than golf ball sized Brussels on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's broccoli. We're going to have stir-fry some broccoli tonight. And cabbages are looking good, although some of them are kind of lacy-leaved from the slugs which have been chewing on them, but less so. Oh, there's a little one right there. Slug, that is, who is going to be treated with prejudice. Because I've got to mix up some more soap spray. Our weather is supposed to change tonight, so the slugs will be happier again about that, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. People have probably been able to relax a little bit for the last week or so, but, yeah, slugs will return.
Undoubtedly, yes. There, I'm sure there won't be a shortage of those. So anyway, it's a great time for harvesting. I've got some big, beautiful carrots. I've been started harvesting potatoes. Again, I'm going to leave, as long as my potatoes are still nice and green and healthy, they're good staying in the ground. I'm still eating some of last year's potatoes. So that part's fine. I'm not in a hurry to dig. But if some folks have some that are starting to die back, go for it. I actually dug one short row because they were turned yellow. There are lots of beautiful beautiful potatoes, purple skin potatoes underneath them at least. And so that one variety will keep us in new fresh potatoes for a couple of weeks, maybe even take a few south with us to share with our kids in California.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, that's a nice little taste of home. Cool.
It is.
Okay.
Again, we're finishing. We just made apple pies and apple sauce a couple days ago. I've got a friend coming over here shortly to pick a whole bunch of Dolgo crab apples so she can make some crab apple jelly. And the bears are, that one tree is unprotected and the bears are visiting it. There's a couple of big bears in the neighborhood that have wandered through. And the apples that fall outside the fence, outside the electric fence, he's going for. And he's even leaves the evidence. There is the just bottom of an apple with the stem attached where he stood up, and it's over my head. So he stood up and bit off the apple from the tree, except just leaving the little bit of the end of it still hanging. So he's a big bear. I mean, we've seen two of them so far, And but the electric fences are otherwise working to keep the carrots and apples safe for humanity.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's a testimonial right there. Yowza, that's a tall stretch for that apple.
Yes. Oh, yes. This bear, I'd like to get a picture of him because he's, well, either one of them. There's one that's a brown, one that's got a brown coat, one that's got a black coat. So, yeah, if I could get some good pictures, would be fine. And outside the fence.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
The other thing I'm doing, too, is I'm already starting, well, I got a little bit of seaweed this week. So one of the, I've got a bunch of the cover crop beds that had garlic in them up until late July. So I've actually cut down the cover crop and thrown seaweed on top of that. So that one at least is going to start, well, it'll start composting basically for the winter. And that one will get covered here in a little bit. So, and at the same, but on the same time, I've planted more cover crops in other empty beds so that that will grow until hard frost, whenever that happens to be, October, November, I don't know. We'll see when it happens. So that, too, we're looking at. And, boy, if anybody wanted some corn stalks, I've got corn stalks without much corn on them. I will cheerfully will give away. Somebody will pay the freight. I'll send them to Petersburg. Somebody needs some corn stalks down there for decorations.
Right. That's true, huh? Well,
And I am dreaming of corn next year, and hopefully we'll get some, because it doesn't look like we're going to get any at this point.
Yeah, too. The corn likes the sunshine, I guess.
Needs the sunshine, yes. And then there's some nice peas here beside me where I'm sitting, and let's see. Our little dogs are going to get one of the crustier ones, and I'm going to eat one of the others.
Nice.
So harvesting is great year, and again, with this weather, it has been a wonderful thing. We can now look back on this as being near record-breaking summer, and just enjoy the fall.
Yeah, that's great advice. And as temperatures at night or in the mid to low 40s, start doing that kind of frost prep for the next week or two or however long we have to do that last bit of stuff.
Right. Yeah, don't stop. I mean, I'm still planting. So, and the stuff now, a few weeks back, I mentioned having planted radishes and spinach and lettuce plugs. They are looking terrific. I think 2 weeks or less, we'll have radishes, fresh new radishes. The spinach is almost ready to thin at this point from some of the early planting. And then I planted a second crop of spinach that should overwinter. We'll see how that does too. So, and certainly if folks have some kale, they could be planting that now. Small kale will likely survive the winter, and it might even, again, depending on what kind of a fall we have, might get to a size where we can harvest at least some really young, you know, baby greens, essentially, too, from stuff that we plant now.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great tip. Okay. Well, we didn't get any calls on this particular program, and so maybe we'll cut her off just a couple minutes early, let everybody get back out into the gardens as we've just got like a little bit of sunshine left to make use of here in the next couple of days, and we'll keep it short and hop back into the soil, eh?
All right, sounds good. Yeah, coming programs, I'm sure, talking about planting garlic and planting bulbs. And more harvesting and storage of potatoes and carrots and whatever else comes along.
Okay.
So hopefully, yeah, if we get some questions, keep them and share them, and we'll talk about some of that too.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, Ed, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Very good, Ern.
Okay.
Enjoy the dry weather while it lasts.
Absolutely. Yes, we must. And you too. Okay, thanks.
Okay,
Bennett.
Thank you.
There you have it. In the garden for this week with Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Bringing good tips about frost and preparation and storage of your dahlias and begonias. And if you ever need to listen back on In the Garden to, you know, if you didn't scratch down notes fast enough or you're just curious to browse, We do keep an archive of these shows up on KFSK.org. High Country Music's coming up next. The Flower Farm helps underwrite In the Garden here on KFSK. And they're out at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, every day but Wednesday, 10 till 4 p.m. And they have delivery available for bouquets of their fresh-grown flowers, 772-3464. Laura Lee Mason, your host for the High Country Music, taking us up till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then you'll hear All Things Considered from NPR and your local news at 4:30. Statewide news from Alaska News Nightly at 6 p.m. And then It's Classic, classical music program with volunteer DJ Matt Lenhard, picking out the tunes for you from 6:30 till 9. Then it's the TED Radio Hour. It sounds like a good program tonight. Talking about social media, but the real life part of it all. And then 10 p.m., Chris Weiss, bringing you radio-free Petersburg DJing music from 10 till midnight. Then it's BBC World Service, live from London. Lots of great radio coming your way here on KFSK.
Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.